Okay, today we're going to start a new series called Footstep of Jesus. Say with me, footstep. All right, sound like food, F-O-O-D. My food, okay, now. So I started to introduce you this brand new series, Footstep of Jesus. Okay, in other words, we want to look at the life of Jesus. Okay, how does the life of Jesus mean to us and how does it affect us? So when you think about footstep, I don't know what comes to your mind. Okay, first impression that I have was all the footprint, okay, by the beach. How many of you have children and then you go to the beach and then you step, and then all your children follow, then they follow your footstep because your footstep is like the giant. And the children are so small, all right? They just follow you. All right, it's fun. True or not? All right, now. Well, then that is beach, you know, where you see the sun. It's very nice scenery and all those. But how many of you been to jungle? Jungle trek. And especially if it's nighttime. Yeah, how many of you been those experience? And you realize that only the leader has a torchlight. What do you do? How many have been to Gua Tempurong? That's another one. Gua Tempurong. Okay, Gua Tempurong, right? Now, there's one time, Ned. Ned was how many years ago? So long ago, right? So, Ned organized a Gua Tempurong trip. How many of us went there? And then after that, we go to the second one, which is the white rafting experience, okay, in somewhere in Goping area, all right? Now, so we will ask that everybody bring along your torchlight. Okay, so the strange part is if the person do not bring what you do, it was so dark, our tour guide say, off all your torchlight. It was pitch dark. Okay, imagine how to walk there. I remember one of the trip, one of the trip that when you are the only having the torchlight. So what will happen to all the rest? The one with the torchlight have to go to be in front, right? Then the rest will be like, the leader will say, follow me. So the rest will be like, put your hand on the shoulder. Let's go. All right, because that's the only one, okay, having the torchlight. You just have to follow the footstep. So in that sense, when we think about Jesus, the life of Jesus, do we want to follow his footstep? Okay, this is what we're going to do, okay, in this series. I really like this scripture in 1 Peter 2:21 that says, for to this you have been called. Say with me, call. Then your neighbor, you are called. Okay, all right. You're like, call. Yeah. Your leader, your pastor, all will call you. Okay, all right now. Because Christ also suffered for you. Well, imagine that. Jesus suffered for us, leaving you an example so that you might follow his steps. Let's pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we start a brand new series and looking at the life of Jesus and how his life, okay, affect our everyday life. Father, today, we want to give thanks for the work of yours, okay, at the cross, suffered for us, shed your blood, okay, to redeem each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, come teach us, guide us in this series, in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Okay, now, which also means this series is also an Easter series. Okay, next month will be Easter service, right? That is April the 12, right? 9, April the 9th, okay, which is Easter. Okay, now, in that sense, in this series, we also wanting to capture many parts of the Gospel of Mark plus other passages, right? Book of Mark or the Gospel of Mark, how many chapters? 16 chapters, okay, compared to all the rest of the Gospel, okay? So, if you are finding hard to read the Bible, read Book of Mark. Mark will be like, he mark you, okay? He will chop, okay? Every happening, okay, in a short passage, okay, you somehow, okay, know, okay, the 3.5 years, okay, what Jesus did, okay, on earth. But in this series, we're going to have a 6-part series, okay, all these 6-part series. We have a series break in 14 and 16 weekend because Pastor Jojo with us, all right? So this one will go back, go until, okay, 7 May. Okay, now, when we talk about footstep of Jesus, the way that we want to go, we want to trace the footstep of Jesus. And in this series, we also give you quite a bit of Bible knowledge. Okay, and then after you go back, your head will be bigger a bit, right? How big all depends to you. My daughter was saying, okay, study so much, become what? Having what? Mega mind. Okay, all right. Okay, now, because I'm doing my seminary and then so much, okay, to learn. Okay, now. So the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. Now, year 1, year 2, year 3. Now, as we go on there, part one, part two, okay, we will look at year one of Jesus, obscurity, Jesus establishing his ministry. Now, why we say it's that way is because there's not much known about the early life of Jesus. Why? Because not much, okay, written, okay, for us to know, except the account of Luke that talk about Jesus at age 12, okay? So we're going to unpack a bit on that, okay? Now, year two, popularity, Jesus living in the end in mind, we will do on the part three and part four. And you hear all the doings, okay, of Jesus. We just did the series of miracles. Jesus feeding the 5,000. Wow, the crowd come, all right? Everybody looking for miracle, looking for healing, looking for something spectacular. Okay, but the miracle series we talk about, when we go through the book of John, and we know that the miracles are known as signs, okay, as the Bible, they describe it. And John says that in chapter 20, verse 21, that so that you believe in all the signs and miracles, so that you believe, say we believe, okay, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Year three, okay, is Calvary. We'll look at part five, part six, okay, and we'll look at Jesus suffering, Jesus dying, going to the cross, dying on the cross, and all those, okay, for God's glory, all right, and saving all of us. Okay, so that is tracing that year one, year two, year three. Now, moving forward, today we're going to do part one, Jesus is called. Okay, we'll look at the 15 verses plus some other, okay, verses. When you think about Jesus is called, I also want you to think about what if you are called? What would you do? All right? And the way we want to go with this today is we'll look at some facts. Okay, that's why that's about Bible knowledge. And then faith. Okay, yeah. After you go back, your head a bit heavy. Okay, maybe need some coffee. Okay, now faith. And then we look at some footsteps that we can follow. All right, now. Talking about facts, we'll look at some of the culture, events, timeline. Okay, so it seems I already said that every week you learn a bit about some Bible knowledge. Faith, you look at the life of Jesus, what he did and all those in his life. So in this, today will be in the early years of his life and a footstep that we can follow, all right? So each time when we look at facts, okay, talking about facts right now, when you read the Bible or the gospel, one of the ways to trace the footstep of Jesus is this keyword Passover. What's the meaning of Passover? Passover. Passover. Okay, you cannot remember anything about that. This one all go back, okay, in the days of Exodus. Okay, the days where the Israelites cry out to God, deliver them. And that's where God sent Moses. Right now, so Passover is a festival that where the Jewish people still celebrate, okay, today, and that is a major celebration. Okay, when we think about all goes back, okay, to the days of Egypt where they were, okay, under slavery and bondage and all those. Okay, there was a time in Book of Exodus where you read Moses has a face off, okay, with Pharaoh, and that was the last section where God sent the plagues. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. At the 10th plague, it was to take the life of the firstborn. Okay, where the instruction given to Moses to tell the whole people, Israelites, okay, is where you got to take the lamb, okay, first year, okay, spotless and blameless, all those, slaughter, and then sacrifice it and place the blood through the doorpost and all those, all right? Okay, so that when the angel of death comes, the angel of death were Passover, and they just move on. Now you can imagine the next morning when everybody wakes up, okay, the firstborn of the Israelites stay alive, but the firstborn, okay, of all the non who never obey, okay, their firstborn, okay, die. Okay, that was the time Pharaoh, okay, give the announcement, okay, or the order. So now, let your people go. Because Moses, every time when he go and meet the Pharaoh, say, let my people go, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. Okay, God caused a stubbornness in this, the life of Pharaoh. No, no. But at the 10th one, let my people go. Yes, everybody get out. Okay, so that was the time. Okay, they are free. And Passover is a time where they celebrate the freedom from slavery, the freedom from bondages, and which we still celebrate today, okay? Now, so that is the Passover. Now, when you look at the timeline of Jesus, when you read the gospel, you will see this word keep on appearing. So, which is a good indicator for us when we want to look at, wow, we want to study the lifetime of Jesus. Now, here give you, if this is in the book of John, you can go back and do some homework, all right? Now, in this 30 minutes or 40 minutes kind of message, okay, you cannot cover it, but just give you a glimpse that this is something that you can study. So, when you look at the Gospel of John, it will mention about Passover, okay, Jesus' time after the garden, after the wedding in Cana and clearing the temple, Jesus is attending, okay, the Passover. And then you go to John 5, after healing, that was time where Passover, there's a, after feeding of 5,000, there's Passover, another Passover, and John 12, you think about the triumphal entry of Jesus because Jesus is coming, okay, for the festival. So when we read all those, it's a very good indicator for all of us if you want to study the lifetime, okay, the life of Jesus and the timeline. And they celebrate Passover once a year. Okay, when they celebrate once a year, just like you celebrate your birthday, right? Today is somebody's birthday. So, okay, as we celebrate birthday, in a year, how many times you celebrate your birthday? Once, huh? How many you celebrate 12 times a year? No, once, right? So that's a good indicator. So Passover is celebrated once a year and normally fall in the time of when we celebrate Easter. That's a good indicator. Normally, April. Okay, April. Eh? Okay, normally April or March or April, right? Sometimes our Easter is March, sometimes it's April. Why? Because if you look at the time in the Middle East, all right, that is the springtime. Okay? Every time when you think about spring, is March and April. Bible, if you read the Bible, you say the month of Nisan. That's why I drive a Nissan Serena. Nissan. Okay, when we say about the Passover, we don't celebrate Passover, right? We celebrate Easter. Okay, we celebrate the resurrection, okay, of Jesus Christ. Now, so each time when you look at a timeline like this, okay, if you want, I can send to you, okay, you get from your leader. Okay, now, all these are the spring, okay, indicator of this arrow, and they are the springtime, okay, so Jesus' ministry is 3.5. If you were to read Jesus at the age of 12, where was he? He was with his parents attending Passover at the age 12, okay? So this is before 30 years. So when he started his ministry, when you read, you will realize that, hey, there's one, there's two, and three, and the fourth one was where Jesus went go to the cross. Okay, Jesus, because at every Passover, they slaughter. Not pig, huh? Slaughter. Okay, Malaysia slaughter pig. Okay, now. So they slaughter lamb, and Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. That's why Jesus was named as the Lamb of God. Okay, it's in the time, okay, like that. So with this, knowing this time chart, it helped us, okay, to study, okay, the life of Jesus. Now, going forward, also I like this verse, Galatians 4:4, that says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. So talking about timeline, okay, Paul said that the fullness of time. So when you think of fullness of time during that season, what does that mean? The word fullness of time, okay, that means that it's the ideal moment where every circumstances, okay, fall in place. It's the fullness of time. How many months, okay, does a mother carry, okay, the baby in her womb? 9 months. So at the fullness of time, the child is born. Unto us, a child is born. Okay, okay. So the fullness of time. So when you look at your papaya on your tree, in the fullness of time, boy, you better take down. Otherwise, you're taken over by bird, monkeys, or whatever. All right now, or human. Okay, so when you talk about fullness of time, okay, there are five, okay, that we can look at it. Number one is politically. Now, you know that the nation Israel has been ruled by so many government, or they have been invaded and all those, okay? Let's say we talk about from Persia alone, then from Greece, and at that moment, it's none other than the Romans, okay? The Roman Empire. And the people come to a place, okay, they are tired of being ruled, okay? When you read the book of Judges and all those, they cry out to God, God send the deliverer, and then they go back to sin again, and then again, the cycle just keep on repeating, and they come to a point where they're so longing that God will send the Messiah, okay, to save them from all this oppression, all right? But we know the cycle keep on repeating, okay? So they are waiting, okay, for a new government, like Malaysia, right? Okay, now, number two. Okay, infrastructurally, how many of you heard this phrase? All roads leads to Rome. Yeah, I hope all roads leads to us, but okay, anyway. Okay, all roads leads to Rome. So in other words, during the Roman Empire, Jesus has built roads across the whole region. You can search, you can Google, where are all these roads? Okay, it will say something like at least 400,000 kilometers, okay, of roads that they built. In other words, traveling become easy. Okay, traveling become easy, is safer and easier. Otherwise, you always hear story, if you were to travel from one location and another location, you are at risk, okay, of being robbed. Just like Jesus, when they talk about the Good Samaritan, okay, when anyone would travel through this path, okay, easily got robbed or killed or murdered or whichever, all right? So with that infrastructure, okay, that in place, all right, is ready for the gospel, okay, to spread. Third one, linguistically, all right? Now, what was the language spoken widely today? English, but you never know. Mandarin probably will be the language. You never know, all right? Now, so Latin was the official language, but Greek was the most commonly spoken. So I came to know that there's word like Konian Greek, Common Greek. And when you read the Bible, you hear about the Greek Hellenistic, okay, language that they speak. So in other words, whatever term they want to use, Greek language has become the common language. Okay, sometimes in your study, you hear this word like the lingua franca, okay, of the century and all those. So this language has been used by everyone, commonly or majority, okay, for trade and whatever they use, whether they go north, east, west, and all those. These are the words. Now, Old Testament was written in what language? Hebrew. New Testament, Greek. Can you see that? So even they come to a century where the Old Testament was also translated to Greek. Okay, that's where we have what we call the Septuagint. Okay, that now. So in other words, the language Greek is the most used and spread, where everybody know that the gospel, okay, can be preached. All right, in terms of regardless of culture and religion. The fourth one is spiritually. Now, when you look at the Bible, there's this thing called between the Old Testament and the New Testament. What is it? It's 400 years of silence. Now, how many of you still have Bible like this? Yes. It's just that you don't bring to church, right? Okay. Do you know between the Old Testament and the New Testament, what do you have? Yes. Correct. But wow, you read the Bible. Wow, this is a good example, man. All right. Yes, when you look at the Old Testament, New Testament, blank page, hey. Blank page. This page is 400 years. 400. It's a silent years, they call it, okay, where the world went into dark ages and all those. All right, you can read about that. Maybe nothing, okay? It was just dark ages. Silent years, okay, where God chose not to speak. How many of you at home, some of your spouse also choose not to speak? The silent treatment. So, I don't know. So, that was the time when the last book, which is none other than Malachi. I know some of us will say Malachi. Okay, now. And then after that will be Matthew. Yes, okay, maybe you'll look like that. Old Testament, Malachi to Matthew. So, that's a silent years. All right. And the prophet Malachi actually gave a now prophecy. Okay, the day will come. The next prophet will come, okay, who will prepare the way. And that prophet will be John the Baptist. They say when John the Baptist come, when he wear what? He wear leather belt, you know? Okay, so it's okay to wear leather belt. Okay, leather belt, okay. Okay, go into the wilderness, repent, okay, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, then we talk about the fifth one, okay, which is prophetically, okay, prophecy that was given, more than 300 prophecy. And then when they come to the New Testament, every one of them, okay, has been fulfilled. So in other words, when it comes to fullness of time, all right, which means for the right time for the Messiah to show up. So when we look at all this five, politically, the people are waiting for a new government. Infrastructurally, the roads are ready. Linguistically, the language is ready, widely used, the gospel can be preached. Spiritually, the people are longing, where are you? Where is the Messiah? They are waiting for the Messiah. Then prophetically, again, the fulfillment of the prophecy. All right, now, so that is cover a bit of Bible knowledge, okay, for you in terms of facts. Okay, I hope that helps you and you go back, give you the manga mind. Okay, now, let's look at a bit of our faith. Okay, the life of Jesus, early days of Jesus. Okay, two things that we can talk about, birth, okay, his childhood. One, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Where did he grow up? Nazareth. All right, so very good, right? Pastor was born in Teluk Intan. And after that, Pastor grew up in Penang. Okay, all right. Okay, somehow, okay, I was born in Teluk Intan. I did my primary, secondary school all in Teluk Intan. Then after that, I did my tertiary in Penang. After that, I fall in love. After that, I work, okay. Then I got married. And then I got children. Okay, I buy my property here. Everything here, okay. Start church, everything here. So, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Just in case you do not know my wife, okay, that's me. Okay, you just wave, okay. All right. Okay, just in case you don't know who am I, okay, I'm Pastor Jonathan, okay, or GP as you all call me, all right, now. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth, all right, so with that. So many of us are also like that, okay, you are probably some of you born in Makati, born in, Pasai, okay, area, some of you from Cebu and all those, right, but then you work here, okay, some are in Busan, okay, and then your work here. Some of you are born in Indonesia, you know, so many places. Some of you born in different parts of Malaysia, but okay, you work here, you reside here, you married, okay, just okay, like many of us. All right, now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and at the same time, you know the story, Christmas story, okay, when he was born, okay, and then the King Herod wants to kill all the firstborn between the 2 years, so Joseph and Mary. Okay, with the instruction of God, okay, they left for Egypt. Okay, when it was time was right, okay, they came back and they went back to their hometown, okay, which is Mother Mary's, okay, Nazareth. Okay, that's where when he grew up there, Jesus was also known as Jesus of Nazareth. And that also fulfilled, okay, one of the prophecies, okay, going to Egypt also as well. I remember one of the Christmas that we did. Christmas, right? Christmas or Easter? Christmas. Oh, Sean was very king, all right? So he dressed up like the Pharaoh, remember? Many of you came with all your dressing and all those. So when he told me that, yeah, we do not know what happened in Egypt. Why not? God has some revelation for Sean, okay, to do, okay, that event. Wow, that one I remember for life, man, all right? Some of you dress up like one, right? Just like without the cobra, lah, okay? Or somebody came with a cobra, I don't know. Okay, anyway, okay, with that, right, Jesus' childhood, only one, there's only one incident recorded was that the account of Jesus at age 12, where the parents left, and without knowing where it was Jesus, and when Jesus was found, okay, and Jesus was still, Jesus was, okay, debating, okay, telling all the older folks, okay, of the kingdom of God. All right, we're going to unpack a bit more, all right, now, we go a bit more. So Jesus, prior to his public ministry, now we talk about a forerunner. There's none other than John the Baptist. Baptism, Jesus was water baptized. Temptation, okay, talking about Jesus was led by the Spirit of God, okay, to wilderness to be tested. And then after that, Jesus entered public ministry. When I mention all these four, all found in Mark 1, you know. In Mark 1 alone, bam, 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 bam. Okay, you have this all these stories right now. Forerunner John Baptist. Oh, that's where you hear the passage like this. When I say Book of Mark, I say, Pastor, haven't read that book of Mark. Okay, so book of Mark, verse 1 to 8, talk about John the Baptist. In the beginning, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet, "Behold, I send a messenger." Last one, we just talk about Epaphroditus. He was a messenger. So the word messenger, the root word now is an apostle, a one that's carried the message, all right? "Before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, makes his path right." Sound like a song that we sing before, right? Now, then John appeared baptizing the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sin. So whenever you read about John Baptist, he cried out, "Repent and be baptized, okay, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It's a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sin. "And all country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sin." Can you imagine? If you were to, when his baptism, all those people just line up. Imagine, I'm telling you this, is that there's a 400 years of silence. Never hear. There's never one word from the Lord. It was a silent treatment. And now you have John the Baptist cry out in the wilderness. Surely he will attract attraction, right? Because he wear what? What hair? Camel hair. Dressing. And then leather belt. Okay, sure people want to see this man, okay, with a leather belt. Then now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt, okay, around his waist and ate locusts. How many have eaten locusts? More honey, yes, right? More locusts. We got to go to Vietnam. Chloe, we make one trip. We get them to eat locusts. Locust is a grasshopper. All right, now. "And he preached, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized with water, but this man," okay, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So you can read, all right? So I just move forward, water baptism. Jesus water baptized, voice from heaven, okay, that says that, "You are my beloved son, with you I'm well pleased." The Spirit, the dove came. So it's also a picture, you see the Trinity all appear at the same time, all right? Now move on, okay, we talk about temptation. Right after that, the Spirit of God, okay, led Jesus, okay, wilderness to be tested, these 40 days, okay, to be tempted, all right? Did Jesus fall into temptation? No, although it's called Jesus' temptation, right? No, he never, okay? Just to show us, it's like the beginning of a new world. Because back in Genesis, who was the first man? Adam. Adam gave in to temptation. So Jesus came because known as the second Adam, okay, to be the perfect man, because the first man fell, okay, the second one, okay, there is none other than Jesus. Okay, so Jesus, did not, okay, fall into that temptation, all right? Next, then you have Jesus enter the ministry. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. So when I enter ministry, proclaim, okay, the gospel and saying this time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. All right? So, book of Mark. Interesting. Now, last part, I want to talk about the call, okay, how we can follow the footsteps of Jesus. The call of Jesus and his response. Now, Jesus understood his calling even when he was young, right? In Luke 2:48, this was a story of him at the age 12. Okay, remember the time I was telling the story, I packed a bit more. They were in the Passover. There are a lot of people. How many of you have been to a festival like that? Hundreds, thousands of them. People are everywhere. So even where you go, they go by buses. The time no bus, huh? Okay, I don't know. Okay, there are trucks. Kereta lembu. Okay, so they go and go back. So many people. So everybody take care of yourself. So even for the parents, when they go home, they say, "Where is Jesus?" How many of you, when you travel, then you find out, "Hey, where is David? Where is Derek? Where is Deborah? Okay, where are they?" Okay, so talking about that, say, "Where is Jesus?" Okay, you don't know. So when they go around and found out that, oh, he's still there. So they all went back and found, "Jesus, why is you here?" Okay, there was a time Jesus replied to the parents, "Okay, why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be my Father's house?" So at a very young age, okay, he understood, okay, the calling, okay, of God. See your neighbor and right, "Wow, you're very young, eh?" Okay, answer the call of God, okay? All right. Thank God this morning we have Jeline come up, okay? All right, Shireen come up, okay? For us, we pass a certain age. Okay, we are still young. I pray already. Everybody comes to Every nation all look young. Okay, look young. Okay, now. Next one, Jesus in pursuit of his calling. So when you look at Luke 4, 14, 15, and here was an account where Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, okay, to release his, after the temptation, in the wilderness, tested, okay, a report of him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in the synagogue, being glorified by God. Immediately, okay, he, okay, preached the gospel and teach. Okay, Jesus get into the work. And then there are many more. So these are some of the scripture that you can read. Okay, Luke 4, 16, 19. So he went to Nazareth, went to the synagogue, and they passed to him the scroll. It was in that synagogue, right? They have this, they have people that they assign, okay, to read. So at the fullness of time, so he was given this and open up and see, yes. Okay, that's the time that he read, opened up, okay, he opened up the scroll, unrolled it, and found this place. Verse 18. That's where the famous saying when Jesus started ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me, proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering okay, the sight of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The interesting part is, who is this guy? Today I fulfill the prophecy. How many of you like to read there? Come help here and read. Okay, today the prophecy is fulfilled, and that is me. I think people will throw. No stone, maybe throw tomato at you. Okay, all right. Okay, now. So in pursuit of that, you can read many other scripture, like 4:38. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. How do we eat? We eat to live or live to eat? But Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. Wow. John 5:30 said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear the judge and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And he continued to say again, John 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He continued to pursue the calling that God wants him to do. Amen? All right, now, third one, Jesus lived out his calling even when it cost him. Of course, we know the story. Okay, Jesus went to the cross. Okay, whatever he do, he knew. Okay, one day he's going to go to the cross. Philippians 2:8 tells us that being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Okay, now it's 11. Going to be 11:05. Huh? Give me 4-5 minutes. We're going to end this. Today, we're talking about our campaign, okay? Our recruitment campaign over. So after this 11:30, we have about 40. Correct? Am I right? Volunteers, okay, responded. Thank you, okay, being the brother, now co-worker. Okay, we're going to welcome you. We're going to give you some briefing. Okay, when you serve, what does that mean? All right, now, God's calling demands obedience. True? Right? So you cannot be like your father call you, your mother call you, and then you fight with your father and mother. God like that. Your mother call you to, hey, let's do the dishes. Then you argue with your mom, oh, this is not my job. Bloody. So don't do, correct or not? So God's calling demands obedience. And you can read in Mark 1 itself, you see that John the Baptist, when he's called, he do it. He obeyed. Jesus was called, obey. The disciple of Jesus, when they called him, all obeyed. Okay, Peter's mother-in-law, that's the best part. Jesus' mother-in-law, blah. Peter's mother-in-law. Okay, they read a cow. Peter came to Jesus, my mother-in-law is sick. How many of you have mother-in-law? You love your mother-in-law? Okay. And Peter told Jesus, my mother-in-law, see, Jesus came to the house, home visitation, pray. You know what happened to Peter's mother-in-law? He was healed and immediately he served. Wow, you're going to read the account. Verse 29, 31. 29, 30, 31. Three verses only. Go and read, okay? How should we follow Jesus' footstep? Okay, this 5 minutes. Number one, do you know that God calls every one of us? That's why from the beginning, okay, we tell you, you are called. Tell your neighbor left and right. Do you know you are called? Some of you say, I don't know. Okay, now. Okay, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This one I can talk 1 hour, but never mind. Tell you 1 minute. Okay, we are all God's workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. And we are created for a good purpose, good work. Yes, God has a purpose for every one of us. And God prepared that beforehand, you know. So all of you who like to cook one, you say, okay, today I want to cook pork knuckle vinegar and all those. I want to cook. Where's my pork? Where's my vinegar?
where's my ginger? Then the pork knuckle vinegar will not come out. The dish will not come out. Okay, in all do so, you go to market and you buy everything prepared beforehand. Wow, everything is ready in the fullness of time. You came and eat. Now, friend, God has prepared beforehand for every one of us. All right? Well, move on. 1 Peter 2:1 that we have just read in the early, that you have been called. Because Christ suffered for you. Okay, leaving you an example, okay, to follow, okay, his footstep. All right? Now, so you must get ready, yeah? Jesus' footstep, that you get ready. All right? Now, number two, when God calls you, right? God calls us when we are busy, not idling. Okay? I like when you tell me, Pastor, I'm very busy. I say, yes, that's the way, man. God is calling you because you're busy. I know your answer, busy, means, Pastor, I cannot serve. But what God is interested, yes, the more busy you are, that's where God wants you. Okay, so for you to answer busy, yes, all the more. Pastor will call you, your leader will call you, and say, I'm busy, lah. Okay, yes. You know why? Because when you're busy, you know what time is about. You treasure every minute you have. You're not going to put every minute to waste. Are you busy? Better say yes. Yes, God is calling you. All right. Now, just like in every love relationship, it's also the same. How busy you are, your darling call. Can you help me? Sure, darling. But you have timeline, you have whatever, you will put a stop because you love, all right? And you will do anything, okay, for your loved ones, all right? So how do you serve? Don't serve with convenience. Because it's easy, lah, on the way, lah, okay, lah, easy. No, sometimes when you come to a place like that, all the more, okay, it will be a test, okay, for each and every one, okay, of us, all right? So God calls everyone of us right now. Oh, sorry about Samuel, lah. I'll leave it another time. Okay, number three, God calls us when we are not ready. How many of you are ready? How many of you are ready? Oh, none, huh? Okay, that means you are ready. It's very true. I've gone through my life. When I was so ready, God called me now. I'm so ready. God don't want to call you. When a time I'm not ready, God said it's now. But God, I'm not ready. I just got married, I got children, I got car loan, I got house loan, I got so many things. If I answer the call, how? I'm not ready. But that's the time God calls you. Why? Because God knows your dependence is not about all this, your job, your money, whatever. And he knows that at that moment, your dependence is on him. Not because what you have. But it's because your dependence will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. When God called Peter, what was Peter doing? Peter was mending the net. He's not like lying down, oh God, I'm suffering, I have nothing to do. He was busy, my friend. Every time he comes back, the net will show be broken and he has to mend it and take time to repair. God calls him. When God called Matthew, what was his job? Tax collector. Collect money. God, I'm very busy. You call me. I haven't finished yet my money. Because take money from people, become his money. Tax collector, the people just hated tax collector. But you read all the Bible, when God called them, they all left immediately to follow Jesus. Jesus said, come, follow me. All right, so are you ready? Not ready, that's the way. Get your call. Huh? All right, so what should you do? As I end, okay, musician. Thank you, darling. Okay, you're very busy, right? Okay, very busy. Most of my Every Nation Seminary Zoom is at 9, at night. Most of the time it's 10 p.m., okay? When the Zoom goes on, it will go until 11 p.m. or some of them is 2 hours until 12 midnight. And then our professor will actually ask us what we do, how we're doing, and then we'll talk about how our time, every one of us so busy. Then my professor will say, so how much time you spend family? I say, my wife also equally busy. We have to make appointment, okay, to go dating. All right, now. One of the things that we do, I just give you this note and then you ponder about it. Luke 16:10. One is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest with much. And one of the key things is be faithful. You follow and you obey. When you are called, you follow and you obey and be faithful. Even if it's just one thing, can you help call this one person? Can you take this person out and talk to this person? This one person? Can you pray for this one person? One only? Can you help carry this one thing only? One thing only? Just be faithful, okay, over small thing. And you never know, okay, what God can do, okay, in, okay, your life. Just one small thing right now. The other verse will be Matthew 25, verse 21. The master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. You don't need to think about the whole class, the whole university, your whole company, the whole Penang, okay, whole Malaysia. This one. Okay, faithful with over this little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Only one. You know, as you continue with your one, you never know. You become the like good leader. Huh? Suddenly become like good leader. You become like the coach. Then after become pastor. Alright? So we got to pray, okay, for some of the people here like Nat, like Sean, okay, all those we got to pray, alright? Okay. Alright, so as I end, application. So you ponder a bit about this, okay, as you go, your lunch time and all those. Will you follow the footsteps of Jesus and obey God's calling for your life? Faithful in the little one? Not little one, the few, only one, okay? And then follow, obey. Just start with one. Okay, can you follow the footsteps of Jesus? Just one. Just take one step at a time. Take one step at a time. The second step. Max is trying to teach me the cha-cha. Say, take one step at a time. Let's pray. Can we all rise? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then we're going to pray for Chen Sun Tang. Okay? Lord, we give thanks. For we start a brand new series, The Full Step of Jesus. Help us, Lord, okay, to take one step at a time, okay, knowing that each and everyone are called. Father God, I also understand when each and every one of us are called, but on the other hand is that many few, okay, choose to obey. But Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, as we trace, okay, the full step of Jesus, Father, that we want to choose to be faithful. We want to choose to be faithful over small things. So that, oh God, Lord, as we do that, we follow you and we choose to obey. I commit all of us into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. Amen. So, let's give Jesus a big hand.